All right, if you'll grab your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians 12. And, you know, some churches operate differently. This one, maybe a lot of differently. But when you make a suggestion, like we should do this or we should do that, or, you know, there's going to be one of two answers. Either, okay, step up, you're the leader, take it on. Or, okay, sure, I'll call on you. So, Joel, this morning, if you would read for us 1 Corinthians 12, 14 through 27, please.
That requires me to read the glasses. My version actually is a new NIV. The unity and diversity in the body. Just as a body, the one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I should not belong to the body, it would not be for the reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed parts in the body, every one of them, just as we wanted them to be. If they were all one part, there would be the body. Where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that are, we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need to be special treatment, God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that part should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it.
Awesome. Thank you. So the question becomes, are you part of the body? Are you part of the body? Or are you outside the body? I know we've all played that game Operation when we were kids, and I just, when I was thinking of this scripture, just struck me. You know, you got all the little parts out there, and you got to get them into the body, or, you know, get them out and without getting shocked. But the question is,
my name is Buzz, honey.
Yours is Buzz.
You always set it up so you got shocked.
Yeah, your parents were more gentle. You know, are you part of the body or are you outside the body? If you're inside the body, are you doing your part? The church, the local church as we gather, is a body. And each of us is a part. You might be a hand, you might be an elbow, a wrist, an ear, eyeball. But we're all a part. And if the elbow never comes to church, is it really a part of the body?
Well, it leaves the hand at home.
Yeah. And what can the arm, shoulder, and the hand do without the elbow? So you can see we need each other. And each of us plays a part. Each of us contribute to the fellowship, to edifying one another. The church is not a weekly entertainment show. It's a place that we come and we participate. It's a spiritual gathering. We've always been told how to determine if the church is a good church. Is that a church that we want to go to? You know, there are certain ways that we rate if the church is good. And maybe you've said some of these things, maybe you've heard some of these things, and I guarantee you I've heard these things and more. often people will ask, is the church preaching the right things? Are they preaching the true Jesus? There's a lot of people say, well, yeah, that church, they're preaching the true Jesus, and that one down there is, I don't know what Jesus they're preaching, but it's not the real one.
Yeah.
Is the pastor godly and a good preacher? What about the style of worship? You know, we often rate a church, if it's a good church, by their style of worship. And usually that means that just happens to be the kind of worship I like. What about, you know, is the church spirit-filled? Well, we constantly teach what the Bible teaches, and that is when we're born again, the Spirit indwells us. And when we're all gathered, we have all these little temples here with the Spirit in them. The Holy Spirit is definitely here. It's a spirit-filled church. Do they speak in tongues? Do they do good works? You know, there's more ways that people rate the church, but, you know, we think about it, and this is the thing that we most often think about. We're rating the church or the pastor in that church when we're thinking about it. But I have a question. So are you a good church member? How often do you hear that one?
Not too often.
Not very often.
Only when you're not.
Yeah. Or if you're not here, we can gossip about you. So are you a good church member? How do you measure that? Well, I want to toss out some things to begin to think about. Are you attending regularly? Are you participating? When you come, are you participating in the worship time? You know, we have this one another time, and its purpose is not for you to, you know, brag on yourself, not to Facebook it, but to exalt and teach and admonish one another, to share things with one another. Are you listening to the things that are being taught, to the words that we're singing? And are you hearing? I mean, do you have your ears open? Are you hearing? Is it going down into your heart and your spirit? Are you contributing? This, you know, as a body, this scripture on the body, are you contributing? Are you one of those parts that's contributing to the whole body? You know, this is, obviously, financially is one of them, but there's so much more. Are you contributing by your personal ministry that you function in the church? Are you contributing by coming and helping out with the church at all? Are you contributing by helping some of the other church members? There are a lot of people that come to church or want to come to church, and they don't have a ride. You know, it could be as simple as picking them up and bringing them to church or taking them home. There are other people that, you know, are on my prayer list, on my attention, that I want to get to come to church, but they're going to need a ride. So there's many ways to contribute. Are you praying? When we gather, we spend time praying here, but are you praying for your church and for the people in the church between Sundays? I'm not asking for a confession or raising hands. I'm just, you know. Are you confessing sin? You know, even though we're in Christ, we're still going to sin. But we've been forgiven. And God says that when we confess our sins, He will forgive us. But are you confessing your sin? You know, in James it says, if we confess our sins one to another and pray for each other, we will be what? Healed. You know, so if you're sick or you're going to get sick or you're tired of being sick, start doing that. And this is a safe place. It should be a safe place. We encourage every one of you to be safe so that people can come and confess their sin here to their brothers and sisters. That it doesn't become a topic of gossip. And I know in years past and weeks past, this has been that safe place. People do come and they do feel safe to confess their sin. We don't jump on them. We don't go out spreading it and gossiping, you know, because we're family. You know, we keep it here and we pray for one another. Do you have concern for others? You know, we're living in an age and time where it's really difficult not to be thinking about yourself. But do you have concern for others, especially those of the household of faith? Are you welcoming others into the church, especially those that are not like us or how you see yourself? And again, I commend this church. You do that. So that's not a an admonition or anything, but we do need to keep in mind that that's part of being a good church member, that you welcome new people in regardless of who they are and what they're like. Are you inviting others? You know, are you one of those, you know, secret Christians or stealth Christians, or are you one of those that invite other people to church? Let them come and see. You never know. They might really feel like God's called them to be here. And I find it's one of those ways that's likely to help people experience God. Maybe they're not sure about God. Maybe they haven't experienced Him before. Maybe they're not a believer. We don't care if they're not a believer. In fact, we would rather have people that are not believers come here. And here, they will experience God in all the ways that He moves in this church. Are you an intentional Christian or intentional church member? Are you committed? And again, I would like to commend everyone here. This church is that way. But we need to remember that is one of the ways that we measure whether we're a good church member. Are we intentional? Are we committed? What about communicating? Are you communicating to other ministry team members? Are you communicating to during the week to some of your brothers and sisters in our church? Are you communicating outside the church? We have to communicate. If we don't communicate, how are we going to know what's going on in our life, what's going well, what's going wrong, what the needs are? How are we going to know how to pray for you? Even just in basic comments that you might make, it may stick in our head, and when we're praying, we remember to pray about that for you. You didn't say, pray for me on this, but in our conversation, we heard something that helps us know how to pray for you. Speaking of that, on the praying end of it, the elders, that's one of their tasks. We get together each week, and we have every member's name listed on a piece of paper, and we pray for each of you by name. And I would encourage you, too, in your prayer time, just kind of visually think through some of the people that you know at church and you think and pray for them. Are you building relationships? This is critical. Some of us are not the overt, outgoing people. And so this relationship building thing maybe sounds a little scary. Maybe sounds like, oh, don't want to do that. Stay away. But even the quiet people, even the introverted type of people can build relationships with other people. I'm not saying you have to build relationships with, you know, 100 people, but even one person, one at a time. Build relationships. building relationships with even non-believers is a great way to open up those opportunities to share your faith, whether it be at work, school, your neighbors, your family, whatever. Build relationships. You know, some of us need to build relationships with some of our family, right? Just because we're born in the same family. Serving. A good church member, a committed, intentional church member, finds a way to serve. There's so many ways to serve. And again, what I love about this group is you do. And you're constantly getting asked for additional things. Would you like to do this? Would you like to do that? So serving is an easy way, and it can be any little thing. I love it when people come to church early in the morning and they help me get it ready, you know, cleaning, sweeping, taking out the garbage, picking up flour off the ground that the bear got into. Using your spiritual gifts. In the Bible, it lays out at least 24 spiritual gifts. And we are each given a spiritual gift. So the question is, are we using them? The intention of spiritual gifts is to come to church and use them within the church body. And this ties into what we were just reading in 1 Corinthians, how we're each a part of the body, but each of us parts has a spiritual gift. Are we using it? That's what that one another time is for also. Sharing scripture, sharing challenges, sharing blessings, all of these things. Are you learning the Bible? Are you learning the Bible? This is a significant part of what the church should be doing, but also what the church members should be doing. Are you learning the Bible? You can learn it, obviously, by coming here Sunday mornings. We have a Bible study Wednesday mornings at 11:30 here, 11:30 to 12:30. You can come, you can learn the Bible that way. You can be part of a house church that meets at various times, and you learn the Bible. Amen? Didn't we have a great time, and we were, you know, digging into the scripture, and we ended up having a better understanding? So, you know, learn the Bible. Try to get in the habit of reading it a little bit each day. You know, find that particular time, that quiet time, whatever time works for you, and try to read the Bible. Sometimes you can subscribe to emails that will send you a verse of the day. And so if you're having difficulty figuring out what should I read, start with that. Just read the whole scripture and then read, open up your Bible and read before it and after it. Learn the Bible. A good church member would be one that's pursuing peace. Pursuing peace. The world is bombarding us with fear, anger, dissension, fighting. We, in our spirits, we just want to fight. We want to scream. We want to yell. We want to come against stuff. But if a church member, a dedicated church member, should be pursuing peace, and we need to try to do that. Everything is not going to be, what is it, unicorns and rainbows?
Bunny rabbits.
Bunny rabbits. So we need to pursue peace. It could be between us and someone else. It could be in a situation. Maybe you spot a situation that's getting a little less than peaceful and find a way to inject peace into that. Praying is definitely one good way. But we need to be pursuing peace. And that works in our relationships, our church family relationships. And you're going to love this one. Being accountable to others. Being accountable to others. You know, your first thought might be, ain't none of their business. But we want to be accountable to others. Why? Anyone have a thought on why? Yes, sir.
Well, you know, like 6 years ago, a whole group of guys showed up at my house, you know, and they just loved me enough to say, hey, brother, we just want you to quit drinking, you know. And I quit coming to church for a while after that, but that was just my family right here trying to hold me accountable and lift me up in some troublesome times. You know,
amen.
So that's why.
And it's not even going and holding somebody else accountable, but maybe you come to somebody in the church, a trusted brother or sister, and say, yeah, I'm having a problem with this, or this is going on, and you got any thoughts for me, or just at least pray for me. So being accountable to others is really critical in having a peaceful spirit, having a peaceful life, because when we hold in those secret things, when we hold in the secret anger, when we hold in the secret judgments, we're not at peace. Are you feeling like, well, this is a great day to be a Christian when you're doing that? No. So being accountable to others. Don't, you know, one of the things that I noticed in me when I started working my way out of being in trouble with the law is I never had to look in the mirror to see if a cop was behind me. I mean, truly, how many of you? I mean, we, you know, we're constantly looking in the mirror. Is there a cop there? Because I know I'm doing something wrong. And, you know, I was. But when we're accountable, we can get rid of that. You know, because it's gone. It's confessed. It's prayed for. It's forgiveness is, you're forgiven. So being accountable to one another is important. So the elders, you know, we try to be transparent with each other, be accountable to one another. And that's something that all of us should be working on doing.
I think last week we had somebody publicly ask for that and ask for forgiveness and ask to be accountable, and that was Donna.
Yeah, yeah. I loved your testimony.
And that's something that takes a lot of strength to do in front of a group, to say, I don't think I've been doing a very good job of such and such, and pray for me to be, you know, more patient, kind, loving.
Yeah. So we often measure a church by what it offers us, right? We have a coffee, we want our coffee in the lobby. What else did it say? Oh, we want that rock star preacher. Not going to get it here.
You are a rock star.
But we want to come to a church that offers us something. But that's the wrong question. We should be going to a church and seeing what we can contribute to it. That's what Jesus calls us to do.
I had a little study I did at one point with another pastor's wife, and they kind of, one of the things they did to change our perspective is that a lot of times we leave church thinking about that. Well, what did you think of the sermon today? Or, the music, maybe they were a little flat or sharp, or I didn't really like that song, or whatever. We kind of walk out sort of criticizing it like it was a show. The study kind of talked about how changing your perspective and what we should be walking out of any service or sermon or whatever. The question should be asked, we should be asking ourselves, was God pleased?
Amen.
Was he pleased with what happened in that church today? And is he pleased with what that church is doing? Instead of, you know, whether we thought it was a great show or not. So.
Amen. And in our personal lives too. I mean, if we're not pleasing him and we're wanting to take all this credit, then we didn't do it for the right reasons anyway. Because if we please him, we're already going to please the people around us. You know, we're going to get that blessing to do that. That's a good point.
Yeah. Amen. All right, turn with me to the book of Ephesians. So if you go to the right from 1 Corinthians, half a dozen books. Actually, it may not even be that far. Ephesians 4. And so we got a little exam coming up here. Take a little examination. Are you there? Ephesians 4. Get a hallelujah. Alrighty. So this I say and affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk, in the futility of their mind, being darkened in their understanding. Wait a minute. I'm not in the right verse. You guys let me go a long ways. Okay, let's start with verse 1. That was a different translation. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you are also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, as we examine our hearts and our lives, are we guilty of creating turmoil? If we look at what's happening around us and our actions and our interactions, are we guilty of creating turmoil? Do we come to church trying to reshape the church into something that it's not, or even more so, something that it's not supposed to be? You know, God has a calling and a vision on each church and a mission for them. Yeah, we all have some very similar ones, the big picture, but then within individual bodies and individual local churches, God has vision and calling. And generally, the elders, that's one of the things they do, is they help define this vision and refine it and make sure, you know, that we're heading that way, that we're not getting off track. But what about you as a church member? Are you providing distraction, or do you understand what the mission is, and are you on board with it? And if you aren't sure what the mission of the church is, stick with me a little bit here in this message, but even more so, ask. Go to the website, dig around a little bit, and you will find out what the mission and calling of the church is. Ask if you can help in something, and then you really find out. Do you gossip about other members? Do you gossip about one another? The big takeaway in this examination is that church membership is not a passive thing. It's like we were singing. Wouldn't it be great if the church on Sunday could be the church on Monday too? And this is partly what we teach here, that, you know, we're not just Christians on Sunday mornings, but every day of the week. We come on Sunday, we gather, we get filled up, and then we go out into the mission field. And then during the week, you might get refilled. Bible study, house church, serving in the food pantry, any number of things that we do. Being part of a church, being a member of a church, is not like being a member of Amazon Prime. You just pay your fee, you get free shipping. Being a church member is not a status. You don't go around bragging, yeah, I'm a member of such and such church. We need to engage it with our mind and our heart. Church membership, church participation. We need to be thinking in terms of how can I make an impact for Christ? And that is not asking the question, how do I build my own kingdom? But how can I serve? What can I do that might make an impact in other people's lives? Maybe be thinking about what can I produce this week? What can I spiritually produce this week? You know, do we think about that between Sundays? You know, what can I do that might be a benefit and serve others? The part of this exam is asking ourselves, are we benefiting the whole team and carrying our weight, or are we slacking off? Now, maybe the most important point in this exam is, do you know other members of the church, and are you investing your life in theirs? do you know other members of the church, and are you investing your life in theirs? Do you let them inconvenience your schedule? You know, isn't that a challenge? Somebody else in the church has a need. They maybe contact you, and it might be inconvenient. Do you let them inconvenience your schedule? I call it the spirit of interruptibility. You know, are we doing this all week? Or are we counting our church membership only by the 90 minutes that we attend church Sunday morning? So I hope as we've done this, that you've come to maybe expand your thinking a little bit about, you know, asking yourself the question, am I a good church member? You notice we didn't ask in here about, you know, wanting to know what your sins are and you need to be sin free. It's what are you putting in? Are you doing the things that Jesus tells all of us Christians to do, the assignment he's given all of us? So I want to finish up with a couple of verses. We're still in Ephesians 4, turn down to 15 and 16. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, that's a kind, you know, here between your bones, in case you need any clarification, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the whole body for the building up of itself in love. So this is why God has made this church the one another place. That's kind of the slogan or the caption, if you will, Amazing Grace Community Church, the one another place. Because it defines what we should be doing, what we should be expecting, how we should be participating. Each of us makes up this church, and by extension, what it looks like to the public. Remember in the New Testament, people were observing the church in Antioch, and they said, wow, there's something about that church. Those Christians are going to that church. And what they were observing was how that church, everyone there loved each other. Love one another. But the things that we do for the community and things we do for other people is how people that aren't part of the church are going to see what a church should be doing. They're going to see how is Jesus working through them. How is grace working through them? The church is called Amazing Grace Community Church. This church ought to be seen as being a church of grace. And that means each of us individuals need to be acting in grace. Are we the salt and the light to the world? Are we letting our light shine? Are we keeping watch over our brothers and sisters at church? I'm not saying, are you judging and gossiping about our brothers and sisters, but are we keeping watch? Do you see something happening in your brothers and sisters' life, or do you see them heading a certain direction that maybe you need to jump in and help them a little bit, encourage them? Sometimes we just, as part of that being accountable, we just need somebody to point out to us, whoa, brother, you're heading down the wrong trail on that one. Do you take notice when they're drifting back into the world? And that's when we need to jump in and encourage them and, you know, don't let them go. Come on back in. Do we try to encourage them in their faith? That's one of the things about house church. That's one of the purposes and intentions about house church. We get together as a small group, so we should be able to know each other a lot better, and that's where some of this can take place. Some people might be afraid to stand up in this big group and say, oh, I sinned this week this way, or I'm really troubled with this. But in a small group in your house church, you might feel like, yeah, I can say that. I can talk about it. Are you silently ignoring a brother or sister who's practicing sin? And again, this is not about everybody being assigned here to go out and spot out if your brother or sister is sinning. It's about, are we concerned about it? It might be as simple as you see something happening, you just pray about it. In fact, that should be the first thing you do. Pray about it, pray for them, and you watch how God can move and do things in people's lives. And pray for that opportunity for a conversation with that person that you might be able to talk to them about it. And you may know them well enough where you can just come start talking about it. Do you see them living in sin? In other words, you might see one or the other is out cheating on their spouse. You just can't ignore that. That's your brother or sister. And that's not a good thing for their marriage. Both of those people are going to get hurt. Other people are going to get hurt. It means if we're part of a church family, we do need to talk to them about it. And again, it's not one of these situations where you gossip about it in the church during one another time, but Jesus says, go to them by yourself, go quietly, talk to them privately. That's how we do it. In fact, you don't come to me and say, hey, this guy over here is doing this and that. No, you go to that person and talk to them quietly. And I can say this, that often the pastor is the last person to find out. So what happens when the pastor is the last one to find out? That means some of that brother or sister's friends and church members are guilty of ignoring it and not helping them with whatever the situation is. All right, last... I did 15 and 16 already? Okay, yeah. So, well, back to that one. So in finishing up the message here, if Amazing Grace Community Church is going to have a great impact on the community, we need to have a strong body. And I've just described in this message how we have a strong body. Each of us individually, but each of us as a group. This is how we have a strong body. Then we can have great impact in the community. And isn't that what Jesus assigned us to do? To go out into all parts of the world and to make disciples. And we have to start here first, and then we move out. And again, this is not a criticism or anything, because I think everyone is doing great at this. This church is doing great at it, but we don't stop. You know, we keep growing, and each of us individually, we keep growing. If we're going to have a strong body, one that's healthy, every part that's healthy, we look out for each other. We care for each other. We help each other. We cooperate with each other. We listen to each other. That's a pandemic in this world, not listening, only speaking. So we need to listen to each other. We need to defend each other. When you're out in public and somebody's talking bad about one of your church member friends, do you defend that church member or do you jump in and agree with them and pile on? You know, we need to defend each other. And, you know, the church member may be in the wrong, but we need to defend each other. And we need to protect each other. And however that comes about, we need to protect each other. Churches that don't live in community like this are primed to find child abuse happening in their church. Amen? Because, you know, they weren't transparent, they weren't accountable. They weren't having these conversations. They weren't relationship building. Those churches are often where the pastors fall into sin because, again, we're not interacting as a church body. We're not talking. We're not working things out. So we all have a part in ensuring that these things don't happen. And praise God, because the Holy Spirit has protected this church. We don't have those kind of things happening. But we can't take it for granted. We can't quit doing these basics. If we will continue to submit to the Holy Spirit, He will continue to protect us. So make sure that you're building relationships with other members of the church so that you can know them and they can know you. When people come to church, I give them a couple times to come, and then I'm right up there trying to get their phone number because I want to carry this out. I'm not trying to, you know, swoop in on your life and come check you out. It's because I want to get to know you. I want to encourage you. I want to be part of your life and you part of mine. Trust and accountability grows an environment of conversational humility and honesty, transparency, accountability. So work to be the kind of person that's easy to correct. You know, that's humility. When we're messing up, when we're sinning, if we got something off base, you know, we should be teachable. Person that's easy to correct. So a brother or sister can feel safe coming to you. You know, let me talk to you about this.
There's grumbling and then correctable. Okay.
Invite people to know you. Invite people to know you. Confess sin and risk embarrassment. When we do that, when we're getting ready to confess our sin or getting to know somebody or being accountable, it can be embarrassing. I mean, risk it. Because in the end, you will see God working in your life in miraculous ways. Amen.
There's one thing on your list I don't know that I've heard you say on what we're supposed to do for one another. It's a big one, is forgive each other.
Forgive, oh yeah, amen. Thanks.
Well, let's gather around in a circle and we'll gather up hands and pray for one another.